So yeah, I'm continuing to talk about God's promises to us, and actually the two verses that have impacted my faith walk the most. But before I share them, I want to reaffirm what Sue shared last week about how important the Holy Spirit is for us. Because without the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be here today in my faith journey. And God's promises wouldn't be impacting my life in the way that they have done. See, I believe to really grasp hold of God's promises and to see them impacting and changing our lives, we need the Holy Spirit for revelation, for spiritual insight that we just don't get in our own understanding. We've just sang this morning one of my favourite songs, and it just reaffirms everything that we believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, God, the Godhead, three in one. It's three. It's not just Jesus. It's not just God, but it's the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit is so important to our faith walk. And Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, I have to go so the advocate or counselor or helper, these are just some of the names for the Holy Spirit, will come. He said, if I don't go, he can't come. But if I go, I will send him. Jesus knew he couldn't physically be in all places as a man. He knew the Holy Spirit needed to come to help us, that we need revelation and insight that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And the Holy Spirit has always been part of God's plan. He's been there right from the very beginning when God created the earth. And in Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2, it says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there right at the beginning. We so often focus on Jesus in our prayers and our thoughts, but the Holy Spirit is just as important to us as we journey with Jesus. Last week, we celebrated Pentecostal Sunday, and what a celebration we had. It was great. Thank you, Linda. I remember the moment I had my Pentecostal experience, just like the disciples did in the upper room. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I'm getting a bit emotional just thinking about it. But hold it together, Lisa. Come on. And I was at a Joyce Meyer conference at the NEC in Birmingham, of all places. And she'd given an appeal right at the start of the evening, which I responded to. Now, I want to say clearly here that I had gone along to that conference as a Christian, believing in Jesus, established in church, and moving in my faith. So why did I feel the need to respond on that night? What had changed? Well, firstly, I had an overwhelming sense that I needed to respond to Christ fully. And fully is the key word here. This wasn't a first-time decision for me. It was really me wanting to reaffirm my decision to follow Christ. And in that moment, I clearly remember saying to God in my heart, you know what, Lord? I don't have any major issues in my life, but I know I'm holding back. You know, I don't want to anymore. God, I give you my heart. You can have it all. And I want you truly in my life. And I'd never been so committed as I was in that moment. And as I truly gave him all of my heart and I let go of all the parts that I'd been holding on to, the Holy Spirit instantly fell on me and I was crying and speaking in tongues. I had never felt so loved as I did in that moment. And do you know what? I knew love. I knew love. My whole life has been filled with love from my parents, from my extended family, aunts and uncles, grandparents, from my husband, my children. But this was another level. This was my eternal Heavenly Father telling me through the Holy Spirit, I see you, Lisa. I know you, Lisa. You are mine and you are truly loved. Everything changed for me after that. My understanding of the Bible, scriptures I'd read before now jumped out in a different way. I started to get everyday prompts and little words of knowledge, and my boldness to step out and step up just grew and grew. It was truly like going from watching black and white TV to colour TV. That was the difference. What had changed? Two things, really. Firstly, I decided to say, you know what, God, take it all. I'm giving it you all. And secondly, the Holy Spirit had fallen on me and filled me. I had let go completely and let God have control. You see, I think it's very easy for us to say, oh, I love God with all my heart. But I want to challenge you this morning, and I want to say this to you. If you're still battling things in your heart like fear and unforgiveness, if you're still holding on to past hurts, if you are saying things like, I can't do that, it's all right for you, you're not like me. If you're saying to yourself, oh, you know, I'm okay with where I'm at, I don't need to go anymore, I'm fine, then I'm sorry to say, but you haven't truly given all of your heart to the Lord. It's that simple, and I know it's challenging, but if you want more, you have to let go. You know, your growth will be limited because you'll be constantly holding back and blocking God as he tries to heal and grow you. And God, when I was sat in the garden last Monday morning, he just gave me the perfect picture of how to demonstrate this. And hopefully Jed's going to put me up some photographs. Oh, Keith. Sorry, Keith. That's because I was chatting to... Oh, there we go. Right, okay. So, in the top corner up there is a hydrangea that I've had planted in a pot for many, many, many years in my garden. And that's as it is now, right now. It's just starting to come back. It loses all its leaves in the winter, but it's coming back to life. That's how it was last year when it flowered, or it just started to flower. It's lovely. It's alive. It's healthy. It's got flowers, but it's small. So then we move to this one here. I'm going to point to this one here. Now, that photograph doesn't really give it justice. That's only been planted in the ground 4 years. And that corner was completely empty. We used to have a big conifer tree in that corner, and we cut it down because it was just getting a bit too dangerously big. So it went, and it was just a stump in that corner. And my mum gave me this little hydrangea, and I planted it behind the stump. And 4 years later, look at that now. It absolutely has filled that whole corner. And that was when it was in bloom last year. And God was saying to me, do you want to be planted and potted and be small like that? Because that's what you get when you hold back and you don't give Christ all your heart. Or do you want to be like this, full of life, blooming and growing? This hydrangea is potted in a plant in a mostly shaded area of the garden. But that one's potted in the soil. Its roots go so much deeper, and it isn't bound by the pot, and it gets the full sun, and you see the difference. When you only allow God access to part of your heart, we are like the potted hydrangea. Our faith is limited. It gets stunted and not thriving like we truly should be. But when we give him all of our heart, we grow and we bloom like the hydrangea planted in the soil, thriving and living as God intended, with the full fruit of the Spirit on display. Holding back parts of our hearts stops us from stepping into all the promises of God and living the full life God has planned for you. Are you pot-bound like the small hydrangea? Or are you planted in the soil and blooming? And when people say to me, it's all right for you, you've got confidence, da, 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 you can get up there, you can do that. Well, I tell you, I could not without the Holy Spirit. I was a shy little girl. I wouldn't even go to the shops on my own. This is the Holy Spirit, me allowing him to take me and grow me. We've been looking at God's promises and what they mean to us as leaders and how they've impacted our faith life. And before I share mine, I want to say to you, if you haven't given God all of your heart, you will hear God's promises spoken from the front. You'll read about them in the Bible. You'll even ponder them. But then you'll say things like this to yourself. Well, that's great, but it doesn't really apply to me. Or, God doesn't really actually mean that for me. Because, well, you know, I have that area in my life that just brings me pain. I have that area in my life that's just too broken and too ugly for God to deal with. God's promises will fall flat for you. And so your faith life is limited and your spiritual growth is stunted. Those areas you are holding on to are your pot. Are you putting yourself in the shade and not breaking free and basking in the full glory of God's heart and promises for you? God wants more than that for you. Jesus wants more than that for you. He laid down his life for you. They wanted more than that for me. And so as I've journeyed with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I've had two foundational scriptures full of God's promises that I've been able to fully grasp, and they've kept me steering in the right direction. They've kept me blooming and growing. Let's look at my first scripture. It's one that a lot of you will know. It's Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, originally, this was a message delivered by the prophet Isaiah to encourage the nation of Israel as they faced the terrifying reality of exile and captivity in Babylon. The promises remind them that even when surrounded by powerful enemies in an unfamiliar land, God was still in control, assuring them that their suffering was temporary and that God had not abandoned them. And this verse actually contains four distinct comforting promises. The first, do not fear, for I am with you. Now, this first part is a direct command. It's not an ask. God is saying, absolutely, do not fear. It's as strong as a sign saying, do not enter. But he combines this with this strong command with the reason why we should not fear. God says, I am with you. God is literally there with his people, meaning they never face their struggles alone. What a promise. And that stands for me too. God is with me, so I absolutely do not need to be afraid. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Now, the word dismayed means to look around in panic, anxiety, or despair. And the reason they don't have to be dismayed is because they're here, God reminds them of their relationship with him. I am your God. Because the Creator is their God, they don't have to look at their circumstances with panic. Let me just have a drink. When we let fear and anxiety overwhelm us, we are effectively putting ourselves inside a cage that we feel unable to escape from. But you know, that cage has an open door. It's not locked. It's not sealed. It's open because of God. And the next part of the verse says, I will strengthen you and help you. God does not just watch from the sidelines. He promises to provide active, tangible power when we feel weak. He steps in to assist us when we don't know how to move forward. He holds out his hand and says, come out of that cage. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In ancient biblical times, the right hand was a symbol of authority, power and honour. By promising to uphold us with his righteous, perfect and uncorrupted hand, God is offering a firm, unshakable grip to keep us from falling. And this picture for me really demonstrates how I see God's protective right hand. I vision that's me in the middle of God's palm. How could I not be afraid? You know, why should I be afraid in any circumstance if that's what God's doing for me? He's got me safe. Are you stuck in a cage this morning? Can you see God's hand waiting to lift you up, but you're just too afraid to come out of that cage because you can't let go of something deep in your heart that you just don't trust God with? As I continue this morning, think about your cage. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, because this morning you can walk free from it. God's promises in Isaiah 41 verse 10 are just as relevant for us today. This verse does not promise that life will be entirely free of trouble, suffering and loss, but instead it offers a deep sense of peace and courage, assuring us that God's grace is enough and his strengthening power is always available in the midst of the storm. Mark and Linda have been through a major storm, and yet God's been with them every step of the way. They've both shared their testimony, how much peace and strength they've had from God. He's been there in the middle. When I face life's troubles and storms, yes, the fears come, but only for a short time, because the Holy Spirit instantly and gently reminds me who is in control of my life, where my strength comes from, and where my eyes need to be on God and not my circumstances. But without the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be able to truly apply these promises to my life. I'd be constantly doubting them, allowing that fear and that worry to consume me and keep me in that cage and in that pot, stunted and pot-bound. I'm going to give you an example now of how fear crept into my life and how the Holy Spirit stepped in my hour of need. So picture it's midweek, maybe a Wednesday night. We've just had tea. It's a busy household. We've got two young boys. They're getting ready to go to cricket practice. We're clearing up the pots. We're scooting around trying to get organised. And the landline rings. I'm going back a number of years now. The landline rings. Pick it up. And I've got my mum on the other end of the phone, hysterical. And I mean hysterical, sobbing. My house is on fire. In that moment, my will stopped. My stomach flipped. The panic rose. But you know what? In the time it took me to finish the call and grab my keys with shaking hands and run to the car with Ray, I started praying, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And the Holy Spirit immediately stepped in and he calmed the turmoil, the fear and the anxiety. And my spirit was praying with the Holy Spirit for safety for Mum, for the house not to be completely ruined. Yes, it was traumatic and scary and frightening, but Jesus stepped right in the middle. And we were able to minister to Mum, liaise with the firefighters, and give thanks to God that she was safe and that the house could be repaired. I needed the Holy Spirit to guide me through that, because without him, I would have probably been just as hysterical as my mum and absolutely no help to no one. Mum needed a calm, strong, supportive arm that night, and she got it through Ray and I, and of course, the Holy Spirit. As a leadership, really need you to see and understand why the Holy Spirit is so important to your faith walk if you're to grow and bloom and thrive as God intended. My second foundational scripture is John 10, verse 10, and it says this: "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen. This verse presents a direct contrast between the destructive forces of evil and the ultimate purpose of Jesus Christ. Let's have a little look at the first part. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief represents anything that seeks to rob you or me of our spiritual well-being, joy, and peace. Now, this includes deceit, lies, sin, and spiritual forces of destruction. But what are these? Now, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, that there are three areas in which believers battle these destructive forces. Firstly, the world. That's the secular, materialistic systems that we all face every day, and societal philosophies that are not in line or are opposite to God's truth. They bring cultural pressures for us to conform to temporary earthly values rather than God's eternal ones. Now, Sue gave a great example last week about how non-Christians are seeking to change God's absolutes to suit their ideas when she shared about the change from BC and AD, so we all know before Christ, after Christ, Anno Domini, to BCE and CE, before Common Era and Common Era. Rightly so, Sue was annoyed. I'm annoyed. But you know what? Changing the name doesn't change the truth of the matter. Christ died to save mankind once and for all. It's an historical fact. But it's how the world seeks to water down the truth and actually just take Jesus out of it altogether to please other religions and non-religions. We need the Holy Spirit to prompt our spirits when we face worldly ideas and values that don't line up with God's truth. And we can't do it in our own understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to show us. The second battle that we face is with the flesh. And this is a biggie for all of us. Our internal battles and our human nature. This includes destructive desires, unmanaged emotions like pride, envy, greed, fear, and selfish desires and wants that battle against the spirit. How often do we put ourselves first instead of God? It's a daily battle for me. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And thirdly, the devil. That's the active supernatural intelligence behind evil, often referred to as Satan or the adversary. This force is described by Jesus as a thief whose sole aim is to steal, kill, and destroy our relationship with God. Again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us protect ourselves from such attacks. So now let's move to Jesus' promise. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Life to the full, abundant life, refers to a rich, meaningful, and purposeful life. This promise from Jesus is about spiritual fulfillment, eternal salvation, and a deep, lasting relationship with God. It's not about material wealth or a life free of hardship. He's saying, if you follow me, if you keep your eyes on me, if you give your heart to me, I will give you all you need to live this life in full, thriving. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we get to live this full life he talks about in John 10:10. This verse has reassured me so often in my journey with Jesus. This is a direct promise for Jesus. I have come to give you abundant life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all the fruits of the Spirit. Do you have all of that in your life? Do you want all of that in your life? I know I do. I want you to consider for a moment if you've truly given God all of your heart, or are you holding part back? Don't lie to yourself. God already knows and he sees the parts you haven't given him. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. So now I'm going to give us some time, an opportunity to lay down our hearts to Jesus and walk out of any cage that you've placed yourself in. Maybe this will be your first time of giving your heart to Jesus. Maybe you'll be like I was at Joyce Meyer and finally actually ready to give him all of your heart instead of just part of it. Or maybe, like me now, you just want more. I want more. I want to flourish more. I want to bloom more, even more than I already am. I want more fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. So, my question is, do you want to respond to this? Are you ready to stand up and do business with the Holy Spirit this morning? Are you ready to seek more? Because if you are, I want you to stand up. Stand up with me. And I'm going to pray a prayer for us. And when I've prayed this prayer, we're going to play a song. And it's a song that not many of us know, and I don't want you to sing. It's not about singing the song. The song's just helping us to be in the presence of God. But I want you to do business with the Holy Spirit. I want you to do business with God. I want you, for him to show you in your hearts what it is you need to let go of. And if you, after we've finished praying and this song's finished, if you want prayer ministry after the service, Mark, Katie Anne, myself and Jed will be down at the bottom. Come and see us and we'll pray with you. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you surrendered your life on that cross for me. So deep is your love for me. Lord, I'm sorry for holding back from you. Forgive me for the things I've got wrong, Lord. Lord, I give you all of my heart right now. All of it, Lord. It's yours. Take it. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. I need him now to help me thrive and live this life for you. Father God, pour out your Spirit afresh on us now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. All around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to
tongues, pray out loud, sing out loud, do whatever God's putting on your heart. With the Holy Spirit. Come on, Lord. Father, we want you here this morning. We want to see your evidence this morning. We want healings this morning, Father God. We want people to be released from their cages, Father God. Take away fear, anxiety, anything that's holding us back. Release your spirit, Father God.
Holy Spirit is here. And I was reminded, going back to that Pentecostal Sunday, let me just read you these words. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Is that us? Is that us? We are here together in one place as believers.